Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Dr. Sofia Pineda Ochoa, originally from Mexico, and who is now a medical doctor in Houston, Texas. In celebration of Earth Day, Dr. Pineda will be sharing much information about the environment. Dr. Pineda Ochoa is joining us via Skype in Houston, Texas. And in honor of Earth Day, I'd like to share a few words inspired by Judy Carman and Dr. Will Tuttle. As we ignore animal suffering, we ignore each other's suffering. As we force unsustainability upon their personal and familial lives, our collective home is becoming increasingly unsustainable. May we ponder deeply the wisdom of the Golden Rule and begin to actually live it with respect to the animals who are at our mercy. Otherwise, our future may be horribly grim. All that we force others to experience, we will eventually end up experiencing ourselves. Let us send extra light and love to Earth Day events everywhere around the globe so that this vegan vision of a kind and gentle vegan world will shine more brightly than ever before. I know we grieve, but as we grieve for those still suffering, let us simultaneously feel the joy for those who are liberated and for rising human consciousness. Together we can do this. Our spirits greet the spirits of all people and all beings and know the truth that one day soon all beings will live in peace together on a sustainable planet. We are very fortunate to be joined by one of the most powerful vegan activists in the world. This is part one of a two-part interview with co-founder and president of Meet Your Future, Dr. Sofia Pineda Ochoa, a practicing physician in Houston, Texas. Prior to relocating to the United States, she practiced at the emergency department at the Guadalajara County Hospital. In 2015, she co-founded Meet Your Future, a health-related nonprofit and website committed to raising awareness about the environmental and ethical consequences of consuming animal products. Welcome, and thank you, Dr. Pineda, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
And thank you for having me and for doing your show. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you so much for joining us on Earth Day, because your work to help protect the existence of life on Earth is phenomenal. You are greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you for your kind words. I do what I can. I think it is very important to raise awareness on these issues, and especially on the connection between what we eat and its impact on Earth. I really like to talk about that. You know, I'm a physician. I like to talk about the health stuff also, which is obviously very, very important as well. There is some very compelling information, Marlon, that I would like to mention with regards to specifically eating animal foods. We are over 7 billion humans on Earth. And that's something that really pushes us to watch how we're investing our resources and how we're really going to have the environment, the resources, the water, the land to feed all of these people who are now on Earth. And the fact is that if we keep doing business as usual, meaning eating a lot of animal foods, eating beef, chicken, dairy products, eggs, the situation looks pretty problematic. Right now, because of Earth Day, we're talking about the environment. There's several other health issues that we'll touch on later, which are also very relevant because obviously our health is also very important for all of us. We should try to eat the foods that promote health and not disease. But when it comes to the environment, prominent authorities have given us not only dire warnings, but important pieces of information. For example, right now, 70% of our land, all of our agricultural land in the world, is going to raising animals so that we can feed the humans. But as a matter of fact, feeding ourselves through animals is a very inefficient way of doing so. And there's many other issues that relate to the environment that are problematic with regards to animal food consumption. Animal agriculture produces more greenhouse gas emissions than the entire transportation sector combined, which is a big deal. I mean, can you imagine more greenhouse gas emissions than all of the cars, trucks, lorries, airplanes, everything combined? But when you think about it, Marlene, with regards to our food choices, that's such an easy thing to do. You know, you don't have to invest millions of dollars in it. You don't have to wait for any policy to be enacted. It's something that we can do very easily with our fork, with our food choices, and we can do it today. I think that we just distance ourselves from it. That's what I think about people who are sensitive to environmental issues, but still eating animal food, still eating dairy, still eating eggs, still eating beef, you know, all the animal foods, even fish, is terribly devastating to the environment. Would you like me to talk a little bit about the issues regarding fish?
Yes.
Yeah, so right now, with regards to fish, we are overfishing the ocean. So we are taking out more fish than they can reproduce and replenish, to the point that the United Nations tells us that 75% of the fisheries are overexploited or depleted. And then there was another study, Marlene, from a university in Canada that predicted that by the year 2048, if our current fishing trends continue, the fisheries would pretty much be depleted by that year. So that's terrible. Can you imagine? 2048, that's not like in 1,000 years. You know, that's just around the corner. So the solution is not, well, let's not eat beef, let's eat fish. We have 7 billion humans and we cannot feed them with fish. It's simply not scalable. We're overfishing the ocean. And that's just one part of it. It's not a health food. It's not scalable. It's not a good situation. So we don't need to eat fish. We don't need to eat any animal products. And in doing so, is causing a disaster in our planet.
And we know that animal agriculture is also devastating in relation to water depletion and water pollution.
The manure that these animals produce is an environmental hazard. I don't know how much we're producing right now. I know how much we were producing about 15 years ago because I haven't seen an updated report. But about 15 years ago, we were producing 87,000 pounds of manure per second here in the U.S. Can you imagine that? You know, we don't think about the manure, but it does cause problems. Because, you know, the manure goes back to the water. It finds its way back to the water. There was a problem in Milwaukee some years ago where their water supply became contaminated with cryptosporidium, which was thought to come from manure from dairy cows. And it caused a lot of problems. Even 100 people died. There was about 400,000 people who became sick. Manure has nitrate, and when nitrates get into the water, it can alter our hemoglobin, which is the protein in our red blood cells that carries the oxygen in our red blood cells and delivers it to the tissues. We've had reports from the CDC of women who were having spontaneous abortions, and then when they measured their water, it was because it had high nitrates in the water. And these women, well, specifically, they were living close to hog operation facilities. But, you know, you don't have to live right next to a livestock facility to have problems with water or otherwise. You mentioned water consumption. And so the problem with livestock is that apart from contaminating water big time, apart from contaminating and apart from all of this manure that it's producing, it also uses up so much water. If we took that water and grew plants and fed those to people directly, we would have much more calories available for the world to feed. And as a matter of fact, Marlene, in 2012, the Stockholm International Water Institute, they said that if we didn't do a drastic shift towards plant-based food, they said there will not be enough water to produce food for the additional 2 billion people who are projected to be in the world. by 2050. So as you can see, it becomes less and less of a kind of an individual situation, and it becomes more and more of a much needed global shift that is really needed to protect our environment and to restore it, and also to provide resources to support our population, just our human population, period.
In my community, I know this is pretty common everywhere, even worldwide, that some people who now are aware of the environmental devastation and the global climate breakdown being caused by animal agriculture, that we find them using the excuse of saying, well, we only eat organic and we only eat from small farmers and local. And of course, that excludes the human health issue, and that also excludes ethics. When we as humans reduce someone else into an object to be used, someone who has a nervous system, pain receptors, family, feelings, friends, once we do that, that's the root cause of all the other human problems that we've been experiencing for centuries, because, of course, that attitude of oppression, elitism, privilege, exploitation then just boomerangs back. And so speaking of that with the ethics, could you please share some information of what's going on animal agriculture, including the organic, small-scale, local, as well as your personal experience that has brought you into this awareness of compassion for all animals, all human animals, and all other than human animals?
Sure. Yeah, no, those are very important points. And let me tell you something different what you were mentioning about the fact that some people say, well, I'll just eat a little bit. You know, I'll eat more vegetables, but I'll eat just a little bit of chicken or just a little bit of turkey here and there. You know, it's not going to kill me to eat. I do not recommend that. Well, for many things, obviously the ethical is extremely important. But right now, just to finish off the health aspect of it, let's say that you say, well, I'm going to eat 95% vegan and then 5% animal food. If you're still including it, then because we are humans, and obviously we are not perfect, it's very easy to all of a sudden flip the percentages. Before you know it, you're eating 50-50. Before you know it, you're eating 90 of the other and 10% right. of the other. So from a health perspective, no. It's just best to do not touch them. Do not touch them. We do not need them. And there's no need for you to eating any of them. We've got protein. I guess everybody's aware now that we can find protein in the plant foods. It is not an issue whatsoever. I've been to a slaughterhouse, and it doesn't matter whether the animal was raised in a local organic farm or a factory farm. At the end, the slaughterhouse is still going to be the same, and you cannot kindly turn a living, feeling animal into food. It's just impossible to do without causing immense suffering and pain and terror to the animal. It's just impossible. You cannot do that.
It's time to take a break. We're joined by Dr. Sophia Pineda Ochoa, a physician in Houston, Texas, who is also the co-founder and president of Meet Your Future, a vegan education nonprofit and website. After the break, Dr. Pineda Ochoa will share more information on the importance of a vegan diet and lifestyle for environmental sustainability as well as ethics.
You are listening to WCUW 91.3 FM, serving Worcester, Massachusetts, on the internet at wcuw.org. Está escuchando WCUW 91.3 FM, sirviendo Worcester, Massachusetts, en el internet wcuw.org.
Hi, this is Stephen Blake. Tune in on Mondays from 5 to 7 to catch The Drive with moi.
Hi, this is Bipana from the Regional Environmental Council, urging you to support Community Radio WCUW Worcester with a pledge of support to 508-753-2284.
Hi, this is Troy. You're listening to WCUW. Tune in on Fridays and hear the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays from 9 to 12 noon.
Beautiful world. Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Sophia Panetta Ochoa via Skype in Houston, Texas, president of Meet Your Future, a vegan education site for health, the environment, and ethics.
And I have been at small slaughterhouse that processed farm-raised animals, you know, like a small scale. And, oh my goodness, Marlene. And the thing that impressed me, obviously, it was a terrible, terrible experience for me. And the only reason why I did it is because they gave me access. It was a general manager of a friend who said, if you don't say where it is, you know, we'll let you film. And I thought it was a kind of unique situation where usually people have to be like undercover and stuff to get to film that horrible things. So I did it just because I wanted to raise awareness of these things. But you know what, it's like a crime scene. These animals fight for their lives until the very end. It's not like a painless, easy, quick death for none of them, is what I saw. They know what's happening. They don't want to walk into from the holding areas to the place where they're going to get killed. They smell the blood. They're all terrified. They're trying to not go in there. They have to be kicking them and prodding them with electric things just to push them in there. It's a horror show. It's a horror show no matter where it came from, no matter how organic or grass they were fed. And it's also very, very violent because, do you remember, Marlene, the representative, Gabrielle Gifford?
Yes.
She was shot in the head. I like to use that as an example just so people understand that even a shot in the head doesn't mean like a quick and painless death. This particular representative, she was shot in the head while she was giving a speech. The bullet came through one side of the head, came out of the other, went through her head. She was actually treated right here in the Houston Medical Center. And she's fine now. Fortunately, she recovered really, really well. She moved. You wouldn't even think that she was shot in the head. So what I'm trying to get to is the fact that a lesion in the central nervous system doesn't equal instant death. It does not. It does not. And from what I saw, the animals are, like, injured. It's always a rush. But in particular, the cows was what very, very much impressed me. These animals, they were injured. They were completely alive, and they were completely conscious. They hang them by one of the legs. Then the machine kind of pulls off the shackle that she's hanged from. And then they start even pulling out their skin. They cut out the three other legs. I mean, it is just something that is unimaginable and that we really do not want to be a part of. We don't want to support this horrible, horrible industry. I mean, it's just like hell on earth. You know, I remember the day that I went to the slaughterhouse. I remember when I left the slaughterhouse. The slaughterhouse was in a small town, and I remember there were trees and birds all over, and everything looked so peaceful, and everything looked so calm and so pretty. And I just couldn't believe that at the same time, these crime scenes were going on. Even though I was just filming there, I felt so even guilty. The animals look out to the people around the room, like, for help. They're just, like, staring at the other people. They're, like, pleading, imploring. I mean, these animals do not want to die. And the situation is, this is such a horrible thing. And what makes it so much worse is that it's completely unnecessary. There is no controversy about the fact that we do not need animal food for our health. There's absolutely no controversy. We do not need dairy products for our bones. There's calcium in all of these plant foods. We do not need protein to come from bacon or from chicken. There's more protein per calorie in broccoli than in beef. So it's so unnecessary that it really makes it that much more heinous. Am I pronouncing the word heinous?
Yes.
It's the crime. You know, it really makes it that much more terrible. And so I mentioned the cows, the pigs too, they're confined in gestation crates for a large part of their life. But even, like I said, even if they're roaming free, the slaughter moment, these animals do not want to die. And it's violent, and the animals are pleading for help. And they're frequently improperly stunned. When it comes to the pigs, they submerge them in hot water to remove their hair. And it is sometimes there where they die, and the same thing happens with chickens. Obviously, the factory farming process is terrible, but even if they were raised in your own backyard and you cared for them, you know, at the time of slaughter, it's violent. They go through some, like, circulating blades when it comes to the chickens. It's like going through a blender. I mean, it's not going to go necessarily right at your big vessel that's going to kill you quickly and instantly, right? It can injure them non-lethally, and many of them are still in pain and bleeding when they get submerged in scalding hot water to defeather them. So no matter how you look at it, I mean, it's a big, violent thing that is completely unnecessary and that we don't need to be part of at all, not even a little bit. So we really need to do a global transition. That's why I'm so happy that you have a show that's promoting this information.
Thank you.
The fact of the matter is that if I'm paying for animal food at a grocery store or at a nice restaurant, even if I'm not directly killing the animal, I am morally responsible because I'm paying people eventually to do this dirty work for me. I used to work at a forensic facility here in Houston, so we saw people who were on parole and probation. So everyone had a legal background and legal charges. And I'm not a complete expert in our legal system, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that if I hire somebody to kill on my behalf, according to our legal system, even if I don't commit the murder, I'm still going to be held responsible for the murder. And when it comes to animals, even though it's so ubiquitous and so normal, notwithstanding the psychological difference, the obvious psychological difference, we're still morally responsible. We don't need any part of it. Not a little bit, not from a local farm, not organic. You know, even if it was completely clean, even if it was completely organic, it's not necessary, and it is so harmful for our earth, and it is so harmful for the animals, that really all you need to know is that you don't need it. You are healthy without it. So I think there's going to be major changes, you know, coming in the near future, whether we want them or not. You know, I think that because it's so unsustainable, it's going to push us to stop. But yeah, I mean, it's terrible. The longest time after I went to the slaughterhouse in the morning when I would wake up, I would remember, like, the cows staring at me, like, you know, and it's something that to this day just also motivates me a lot. So I always talk about the ethical stuff, the environmental stuff. I have doctors who tell me I'm silly for doing that. I don't care. They tell me it takes away your credibility. I tell them, no, it doesn't. And it would be disingenuous if I didn't say these very important things, because they're important. You know, I've had doctors who tell me, do not say anything about the animals. Even use the V word. They don't even want to say vegan. They feel like it takes away credibility, but that's just nonsense. That doesn't give you credibility. I mean, I personally did 10 years of medical training, so I would hope that have compassion, you know, like,
right.
You're supposed to have compassion, so plant-based vegan, just say it.
And thank you for doing so, because I think that's really important, and it just shows me again whether it's the old paradigm of patriarchy and domination that's ruling the ego, that many feel that way, especially professionals who are saying stay away from the animal and ethic issue and only focus on human health.
I mean, just plant-based people, some of them, they don't even know what that means, you know, plant-based vegan. That's plant-based, like, what, is that just lettuce? Is that, what is that? You know, I always use the word.
Yeah.
It's important, and it's a rational, it's a smart thing to do from many things, so there's no need to be apologetic about it or to not say it, to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so perplexing to me why, other than just that old paradigm, which is now obsolete, and we are shifting, like you're saying, we're shifting into a new paradigm, that this old paradigm of separate interests, of, well, as if compassion for any other species besides dogs, cats, and horses is somehow unprofessional. That makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes no sense. like I said, if you feel animals have any kind of moral value, then that's an instant vegan. There's no way around it. It just makes sense. There's nothing crazy. There's nothing abnormal. There's nothing extreme about looking around us and looking at the evidence and making a fact-based approach and doing a rational decision with that. It's just common sense
and necessary.
It is necessary, and I think the opposite is what is crazy. Destroying the planet, destroying these animals, killing them in the way they get killed. I mean, like I said, there's no way of killing them nicely. So that's the crazy part to me, you know? I was part of it for the longest time. I just didn't think about it. I just wasn't aware and didn't even think about it, because we live in a society where animal foods are ubiquitous and animal products are everywhere. There's an orgy to it, but so you don't even think about it. But once you do, it becomes very clear that we're living in a bit of a delusional state as a society. I think a lot of people who are very knowledgeable on many things are just not aware of some important information. So I do want to raise that awareness, and that's why we founded this little educational nonprofit, Meet Your Future, spelled M-E-A-T, meetyourfuture.com, and we try to dispel some of the major myths about health issues and bring awareness to also the very important environmental issues that authorities give us warnings about right now that we shouldn't ignore.
And we're coming to a close in the interview. And do you have any other additional messages that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'm always happy to help, provide information and provide resources and anything that I can do to help. Thank you for doing your show and for touching on these very important issues. I very much appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Marvin.
Thank you. This concludes part one of a two-part interview with Dr. Sophia Pineda Ochoa, a physician in Houston, Texas, president and co-founder of Meet Your Future, a vegan education nonprofit and website. Dr. Pineda has joined us via Skype in Houston, Texas. I'd like to announce the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale, which is occurring from April 15th to the 30th. It is a campaign of a well-fed world. Check out the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale. Since 2009, the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale has raised more than $300,000 on six continents for various charities. It's a fabulous vegan event occurring worldwide. Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale, sponsored by A Well-Fed World. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Dr. Pineda Ochoa will be joining us again next week as we continue our conversation on the health benefits of a vegan diet. Thank you. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.